Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Bill Michaels Show. We're on the air. We are glad you are here. And today is a banner day. Why is it a banner day, you may ask? And I don't blame you for asking that question, to be perfectly honest with you. Today is a banner day because Girl Scout cookies came in today. Sam is here. Evan's here. We got everybody in studio today. And today the Girl Scouts dropped off the sample size. Now, it's funny because they walk in, and Alicia, who is our receptionist, she comes in, she goes, hey, they dropped off for the for a bag. And I'm like, for the show? She goes, no, this is for the station. I'm like, oh, no, screw that. That ain't happening. We're ripping those things open. So the lemonades are here, the Thin Mints are here, and Caramel Delights. I'm not a Caramel Delight fan. Have at them, guys. The lemonade ones, they're okay, but I took a sleeve of Thin Mints. Now, I've been dieting heavily, and I usually diet heavily for this time of year so I can afford to indulge a little bit, but the Girl Scout cookies are here. What is the favorite that you have over there, Sam?
What's the name of the peanut butter?
I don't know what the name of it is.
You know what I'm talking about, though.
I kind of know what you're talking about. That's with the peanut butter and the chocolate. It's like a peanut butter cup.
Yeah. Those ones.
Okay.
But
Where's Evan? Evan is back there shoveling food in like he is in a barn.
Oh, here he comes.
Here he comes. Listen, right. You can hear the bell.
Right.
So, Evan, what's your favorite Girl Scout cookie?
The exact same one that Sam's talking about, and we're trying to figure out what the name is.
The name of it is? Okay. Intern, what's your name?
Robbie.
Robbie. I keep forgetting Robbie's name. That's about the third time they've told me now. I have to remember it now. So, same thing?
Yeah, I like the Thanks-a-Lots.
The Thanks-a-Lots?
Yeah.
What the hell is that?
They're like the chocolate, the one on the chocolate at the bottom. They used to have the animals on them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. I know what you're talking about.
Kind of like those Keebler cookies.
Yes. Kind of like the chocolate Graham things or whatever they are. No, I get that.
Peanut butter patties.
Those
are the ones.
Peanut butter. Now, the s'mores they came out with a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Those are fantastic. Those.
Have you tried them?
Yes. Those are fantastic. Because the peanut butter patties I like. I like the lemonades. I like a lot of different ones. The pinwheels and all that kind of stuff. But the Thin Mints have always been my favorite. But the s'mores, they brought a box of those in once.
Yeah.
And, that made me change pants. That was good, too. That was good stuff. What are you eating back there, by the way, Evan?
My dad made something called a cheeseburger soup is what he calls it. But it's like, I don't know, ground beef.
Okay, can I, Robbie? You're my witness. It's in his beard.
Is it really?
Look at it! Oh, don't wipe it away. It's in his beard. He comes to the mic. Thank God it isn't TV. He just shows up. He got stuff all hanging out his grill and everything.
I have to go in public after this. I'm glad you pointed it out.
He comes over to the mic. It's just all hanging off his face and everything. And my dad made me some cheeseburger soup over here.
We need covers for these mics.
That's ridiculous. Well, we do have covers on our microphones. Look at this one. That thing is nasty. I don't know who uses that. I think Leroy Butler uses that.
Actually, yeah, that is.
Is that Leroy's?
Mic. Yeah.
Poor Leroy has to come in and see that. I don't know who else uses that microphone, but that look is that outdoor show on Saturday morning? Do they sit here?
Yeah, Bushy does use that one.
Oh my God, they must come in still with Friday night's barbecue in their grill. That thing is disgusting. Just disgusting. That right there has got the plague written all over it. That's where the coronavirus started.
This was the worst, I think. The one that I'm talking into right now.
Yeah, I don't even go near that.
Nope.
No, I don't go near that at all. It's just nasty. So, anyway. Now that you know about the hygiene within the studio, and by the way, there are mornings that we come in that people on the morning show decide not to bathe. or take off their shoes and hang around, and it smells like, it's a combination of barn, outhouse, and maybe a restroom in a park in about 98 degree weather. That might be a good description for the studio at times when we walk in the door. Anyway, that being said, the general manager, speaking of the morning show, the general manager of your Milwaukee Brewers was on with Chuck and Winkler this morning on 105.7 FM, The Fan. And he had this to say about the roster turnover.
Well, I'll tell you, we like winning too, and we like competing, and certainly that's our expectation as an organization, is to compete year in and year out for division championships and playoff appearances, and we've been able to do that over the last 3 years. Certainly our belief is that we're going to be able to do that again this year. There has been significant roster turnover, and candidly, we have a lot of turnover most off seasons. We have a lot of turnover during the season often, where we're sending players back and forth to AAA. We generally are a pretty transactional organization, and we make trades during the season. So our coaching staff has proven that they're exceptionally capable of getting a team to gel, of continuing the positive culture that we've had here in the past, and we believe we'll be able to do that again.
Now, he's right about a transactional team because they do make a lot of moves. The one question would then become, it would be, well, with, when he talked about making trades, with the lack of depth now in the farm system because of the trades they have made, does that then handcuff this ball club? But he does talk about this season and why this season will not be a step back or, quote, a rebuild year.
We believe we have a really talented roster, and certainly we've lost some players from last year. But as I've said, we generally have some roster turnover. And the key for us is when we make investments, significant investments, especially in the free agent market, they have to be really wise investments. We can't chase the market. We can't chase players, regardless of how much they may have contributed to our team in any single given year. And certainly you mentioned guys like Rondahl and Moustakas. Those guys gave a lot to our organization. They were a big part of our team last year. We also recognize that we're not always going to be able to keep those types of players here, and that's something that this franchise, even before I got here, has dealt with very well. And we've been able to regenerate talent within the organization. We've been able to make some free agent signings that we think are going to help continue the string of competitiveness that we've had here. But certainly I recognize that we had a couple of really good players who walked out the door and went to other teams. I certainly don't ignore that. And so it's then my job to put the best team we can together that then our opinion allows us to achieve our ultimate goal, which is continued and sustained success.
That's a long way to go to, yeah, we lost a couple of guys we kind of wanted to keep around and kind of circle back the wagons, because the question becomes, do you have frustration with the finances of this ball club?
No, I don't think there's frustration. I think there's a recognition that regardless of what business you're running, whether it's within sports or outside of sports, there are going to be budgets and there are going to be financial capabilities. And so it's our job to operate within those financial capabilities. And our ownership group has been incredibly supportive. Whenever we've gone to them with what we think is a really wise investment opportunity, we did that a year ago with Yasmani Grandal and Mike Moustakas, and signings that far exceeded what our original budget was slated to be. And our ownership group was very supportive. As we looked throughout the free agent landscape this year, those type of big name signings really didn't materialize for us this year. So we were able to spread some of those resources around, gather up a number of major league free agents who we think are going to be able to impact the team. And we're very optimistic going into this season because of that work that we've been able to do in the offseason.
So every team has a budget. He understands that. In other words, look, this is what the owners told me I can spend. This is what they said I can't spend. I have to work within the parameters and figure out the best way to try to put a team on the field that is going to be competitive. And that's pretty much it for David Stearns. He talked about Hader, the arbitration case, and if the system itself at this point in time is flawed.
You know, it's a really interesting part of our game in that I think everyone involved agrees it's not a good process, and that's been the case for as long as I've been in the industry. I don't think anyone likes the arbitration process on the club side, on the player side, management side, union side. But for whatever reason, it still exists, and the two sides haven't been able to come together to figure out an appropriate substitute. We've been pretty successful at garnering settlements here since I've been here. We've had somewhere around 50 or so arbitration eligible players over my time here, and we've only gone to two hearings, so that's a pretty good success rate at settlements. And on occasion, and we found one this year with Josh, where you just can't line up, and then the process is designed to actually go through and go to an arbitration hearing. But you know, from your question, is this something that everyone thinks works? No, I think everyone understands on both sides that this isn't a great process. Unfortunately, there just hasn't come up with a better solution.
In the other words, it's the only one we have. And until somebody figures out a better way to invent the wheel, this is the only wheel we have at this point. And last but not least, going back to what I had stated, you know, how many deals can you currently make and how many things can you really go out and seek when you talk about high-end talent, specifically if you're going to get into the trade market, because what is the current state of the farm system?
Yeah, I think look, we made some big trades. We traded four of our top six or eight prospects in what at that point was the top-ranked farm system in all of baseball. We traded four of those guys for Christian Yelich. That was a big bet on Christian Yelich, and Christian has clearly repaid us for that level of prospect investment in him. Elsewhere, we've made trades in season, and as you mentioned, we've had a number of players graduate to the major leagues and make very substantial impacts, whether that's a Brandon Woodruff, a Keston Hira, Freddie Peralta, Adrian Hauser, guys who composed what had been ranked as a very, very high system are now helping us at the major league level. We still think we've got a very quality system, a system with a lot of depth, a system that's pretty young, and so you'll see a number of these younger players begin to work their way through our system and ultimately approach the major leagues. But we understand we're not at the same level in terms of overall system depth and talent as we may have been 3 or 4 years ago. But we're a much better major league team, and we've got a couple of playoff appearances and really competitive seasons to show for it. So we'll certainly take that trade-off while understanding that it's now our obligation to continue to restock the farm system and have that consistent pipeline help us produce at the major league level.
So there you go, the general manager of your Milwaukee Brewers. You can hear that entire interview. Go to the radio.com app and follow Chuck and Winkler there if you want to. They are on the Sports Radio 105.7 FM, the FAM website as well. You can hear that entire interview, but some better cuts from that particular interview from a little bit earlier today. When we come back, it's time. Let's take a look southward at the Chicago Cubs. We're going to end up talking to Matt Spiegel, a 670 The Score out of Chicago. He will join me next on The Bill Michaels Show.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We continue to take our look around the National League Central as we've already checked in Cincinnati and St. Louis. Now we set our sights southward down to 670 The Score in Chicago. And our Matt Spiegel from our sister station down there joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline here on the network. Matt, how you doing?
I am very good. It's almost baseball season, which is a beautiful thing when you've got the Bulls and the Blackhawks playing in your town.
All right, I'm listening to you the other day, and I wanted to scream in the radio, do not take any suggestions from any crazed fans as to how to call a home run. Let it be organic.
Oh, see, now, you've done this, though.
I have done this. Job. Yes.
Yeah, I've never done that job, and it really, I get to do one coming up here for spring training. I get to do a March 1st Cubs and Mariners game, and it's a lifelong dream to be realized, so I'm going to have a good time. And no, you're right. I will certainly not take anyone's suggestion, but it made for a good radio bit. So
it was great. I was sitting there because when I did it, I got a chance to fill in for Euchre, and you have to understand the magnitude of the chair when you sit there. So you're trying not to screw it up, but you also just want to be you, and it'll come. It flows, and once you feel the rhythm and you start to describe and understand the romance of baseball through the radio, it's actually a broadcaster's dream. It's like euphoria. It just hits you, and I think baseball is the most romantic thing to do on the radio. Myself, that's just my stuff.
That's awesome. As do I. It is the best sport, and it is the best milieu, the best genre to do it in. And that's why I feel like such a crime that the Oakland A's are going to have no terrestrial radio station.
Right.
Man, it's the first team in all of professional sports to have no over-the-air radio coming this year, and I know it's there's a whole generation of fans being shut out there. Not everybody has a Bluetooth on their phone. Not everybody.
So in the other reason we wanted to get you on was this Cubs team. They cut payroll back a little bit. There's a lot of talk about Chris Bryant starting in the leadoff position is going to be Kyle Schwarber, and you've got a new manager and pitching. Well, John Lester didn't have a great year last year, and he's kind of been the anchor. So you tell me, where is this team right now?
This is a very interesting moment. They believe that their core of Bryant, Rizzo, Schwarber, Baez, Contreras has been good, but not as good as they can be. And they've believed really for a couple of years that there's more to get out of them. And that's what David Ross is here to do. They're disappointed that they're not better offensively. They're disappointed that the last 2 years, the base running and the defense has been what Jed Hoyer called a massive failure. So they're expecting a level of accountability from Ross and a level of cooperation and interpretation with the front office, with the analytics and such, that is going to help things step forward a little bit. So I think they're expecting a little bit of a manager bump, and there might be one. Now, the other thing is that there better be, because they really didn't do a whole lot. So offensively, could they be better? Will they be better? I think both of those answers are yes. I am a believer that it was time for a manager change. I like this idea of having Bryant Rizzo up at the top. I would actually have Rizzo at the top and then Bryant, but I understand why they're going to do it the other way. But the question is really pitching. Do you get the Yu Darvish you got for the last 3.5 months last year? If so, you've got a true lockdown number ace. Kyle Hendricks, a bit of a down year, but he's fairly reliable. So you feel pretty good about that at two. And then things start to get pretty interesting and potentially dicey. And, you know, how much is John Lester going to age? Is Tyler Chatwood going to step up and be competent enough and consistent enough to be the five? And Jose Quintana better be the best version of himself that he's been as a Cub. It really hasn't happened yet. That trade looks like a big-time loss, a big-time fail. And they don't have a lot in terms of starters number 6, 7, and 8, which you usually end up having to use these days in the big league. So a little scary when you look at the rotation, especially the back half.
So as far as off the bench, you got Caratini, Descalso, David Bodie. I mean, you got some guys that many people are very familiar with that have been on this team. They've been up and down. They've been contributors. David Bodie, everybody remembers his big grand slam not a couple of years ago. So there's some guys coming off the bench as well that give you the ability to have veteran leadership also.
Yeah, but it's just the production has not been there. Descalso was terrible offensively. They had to invent injuries just to get him off the roster. And, you know, Albert Almora and Ian Happ are two of the young guys that have just not progressed. Happ showed a little bit last year when he came up from a demotion to AAA, and he'll be given a chance to get some ABs, especially early. But I'll tell you who has a very good shot to make this team, and that's Jason Kipnis. If Jason Kipnis, who's a non-roster invitee, can prove himself healthy enough to run the bases and move around enough at second base, he's going to get a chance to make this ball club, and they could probably use it. Where the Cubs have fallen off is drafting. They just have done a terrible job of drafting and developing over the last 4 to 5 years, and that has left them without good, young, cheap labor. And when you've got good, young, cheap labor, you've seen it there. We see it all over baseball. You can let Bryce Harper go when Juan Soto is making $570,000 and Victor Robles is making $600,000. Then all of a sudden you can go out and spend your $30 million for Patrick Corbin. The Cubs don't have those guys anymore. That gravy train has stopped completely. So it's up to guys like Happ and Bodie to show that they can offensively deserve to be along. But they're going to have to find some flyers in Kipnis. We were hoping to get somebody like Eric Sogard, who you guys grabbed, right? But even Eric Sogard was above the salary range of what was doable for this particular Cubs offseason.
So as you see it, by the way, we're sitting here talking with our buddy Matt Spiegel from 670 The Score down in Chicago. But as you see it, tell me how you see the Central shaking out.
I worry about the Brewers because of a little bit of regression in that bullpen, if there is any, and because the rules go against you. The bullpen ingenuity that has been Craig Counsell's calling card is hampered a bit by the three-batter rule in the 26th roster spot. I have this feeling it's going to be Cardinals and Reds and Cubs battling it out for the top with the Brewers taking a step back. But my goodness, it's pretty interesting with all four of those teams. And if you told me all four of those teams were going to be between 84 and 90 wins, I'd buy it. And that would make for a tremendously entertaining summer and early fall. If pinned to it right now, it's hard for me to bet against the Cardinals' devil magic, having found a way, and as much as I think the Reds have improved, I've got good feelings about David Ross. Got good feelings about David Ross and what he's going to bring, because they've just been talking about it for 4 years that they miss what he brings, exactly what he brings, and now here he is to bring it again. So I got Cardinals Cubs at the top of the division with Reds and Brewers rounding it out, but boy, it could be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know what the Brewers pitching staff is going to bring. I don't know where they're going to make up some of the lost power with losing Moustakas and Grandal. But then again, you got Keston Hira now for a full season, and he's proven since coming up as a rookie he can give you some power. And then obviously Christian Yelich and Lorenzo Cain are the X factor and all that. So I don't know what to make of it right now. And I think that, you know, we had Mo Egger on a little while ago from Cincinnati, and he said something very compelling, and that is whoever just really owns and beats the hell out of Pittsburgh may end up winning this division because that may be the X factor.
Yeah. But if everybody goes 16-3 against Pittsburgh, you know, I mean, but they should, right?
Right.
This is the way. No, that's fair indeed. Really, I mean, it hasn't been about the rotation in Milwaukee the entire time, and that's been okay. They've survived that. This year with the rule shift, I think it might need to be more about the rotation. And if that is the case, the Reds have the best rotation. Hell, Luis Castillo is a three.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you've got a guy with that kind of stuff who's probably going to be your three because Sonny Gray has shown the consistency and Trevor Bauer's there for the full year, my God, and the rest of the acquisitions they've made. So the Reds are pretty terrifying, all told.
Yep. No, I completely agree. Hey, real quick before I let you go, the Cubs scaled back a little bit payroll-wise. I know the Brewers owner had said that they operated in the red this past season. Give me your thoughts on the Ricketts and the economics of baseball and where it stands right now.
Well, the owners have cleverly built in the competitive balance tax as a de facto salary cap now, and we've seen its effectiveness where the Red Sox and the Cubs are the obvious ones. Even the big market behemoths are given an opportunity by the rules to control their spending and maximize their profit. And that is just the way that business is done. Theo Epstein knew this was coming. Dave Dombrowski knew it was coming, which is why he kind of melted down a little bit last year and ended up getting replaced in Boston. And this is the way it's going to be unless you're the Yankees and you're willing. I mean, even the Dodgers with all their moves, if they balance things right, they're going to be under the tax this year. The Yankees are the only ones skyrocketing past it for a second year and willingly so. Everybody else is now playing on a field that's a bit more level, and it's an uncomfortable truth, but it is the truth. And it's amazing that for some of us, it means you're left pining for the days when at least there were 8 or 9 or 10 teams who were going to explode with payroll. Now, even those 8 or 9 or 10 teams have to be smart about it. And if they're not smart about it and they've spent money on Chatwood and they spent money on Hayward and Brandon Morrow and things like that, then it can come back to bite them. And that's where the Cubs are.
Always a pleasure, Matt. I always appreciate it. Love listening to you guys down there. Keep doing a great job and just enjoy sitting in that seat and calling baseball in Arizona.
Bill, I can't wait. Appreciate it very much.
All right, buddy. Talk to you later. There you go. Matt Spiegel from 670 The Score in Chicago joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at the Biofuels Association. Do not forget that they want to remind you that unleaded 88 and E85 for many vehicles can be used. And if you got a vehicle newer than 2001, chances are you can use the unleaded 88. If it says flex fuel on the back of your car or on the gas cap, you can use the E85. And even if it all comes down to equal on all sides, don't forget, when you use the biofuels, you're supporting businesses in the upper Midwest, specifically the corn growers, the farmers, and all of those people that work in the biofuel plants. And it does something a little bit better for the environment as well. So when you have a choice to make, make the right choice. And if you need to know more facts, if you need to dispel the myth, go to their brand new website, abetterfuel.org. That is abetterfuel.org, and get all the facts for yourself. Again, abetterfuel.org. The team that is picked not to do much of anything, but maybe, just maybe, be a thorn in somebody's side, the Pittsburgh Pirates. We will go to Pittsburgh. Jim Colony from 93.7 The Fan there. He will join us talking National League Central Baseball coming up next.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
This portion of the program brought to you by our fine sponsor, Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network, and by our great friends at Signature Limo. Whether it's just a casual night out or a trip to the airport, whether it's Milwaukee or any other one around O'Hare or even out to Madison, they can get you there in style. They're big enough to handle your every need, small enough to know your name. And that is our good friends Pat and Brooke and everybody over at Signature Limo. Go to booksignature.com. That is booksignature.com. We now continue to take a look around the rest of the National League Central, and the team that many people are kind of counting out, and I don't know whether that's fair or unfair, and that is the Pittsburgh Pirates. And Jim Colony right now, our buddy from 93.7 The Fan out there in Pittsburgh, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Jim, after going through the rest of the teams in the National League Central, many people are saying that Pittsburgh hasn't done a whole lot. They don't expect a whole lot out of this team. So you tell me what we should expect out of this team.
Well, I kind of figured it was no coincidence that I looked at your lineup of people talking about the Central Division, and I was last. And I figured, okay, I mean, are they going in order of the projected standings?
No, we're going in order of time. You know? That's it. Okay. Who's available?
If people in Milwaukee are counting the Pirates out, then they may as well be Pittsburghers. You just got to look at it. You just have to look at it realistically. Now, there are, and I think, well, see, here's the thing, is that Pirates fans had hopes built up, you know, five years ago, when they had a nucleus of players and still fairly young players with Andrew McCutchen in the middle of it, but also they had Pedro Alvarez and Neil Walker and Josh Harrison and Jordy Mercer, Starling Marte, Gregory Polanco. You know, this was a team that was going to be together for a while. And then they did get better. And for a three-year stretch, 13, 14, 15. In 15, they won 98 games, but still couldn't finish ahead of the Cardinals, so they get stuck in the wild card, lost to Arrieta. And then you figure at that point, here's a team that won 98 games, and let's build with that team. They never did. And there was a nice little positive blip a couple of years ago where they managed to finish over 500 again. But, you know, last year it was the end of the season was abysmal. Changes had to be made. You know, you get clubhouse fights. And, and the, you know, they have the best closer, or I shouldn't say the best, but one of the best closers in baseball, and a guy that they could have traded for assets, and then he gets basically found guilty of rape. It was just it's just an awful situation. It had nothing to do with baseball, but that was just the capper on a season of other things that did have to do with baseball, that the team was just a mess. So they went out, cleaned house, as people know. But the thing is that really it sounds like the message from the new regime, and we have to give these guys a chance, is to follow the same path as the old regime. But I don't think, you know, it's like, we're not going to spend a lot of money now. We're going to see what we have. If we've got something going, and guys like Brian Reynolds, for example, Kevin Newman, Adam Frazier played injured, we found out last year. If those guys can hit better, can improve, if Josh Bell is the first half Josh Bell, not the second half Josh Bell, okay, you know, then, and the pitchers don't all get hurt, then maybe they can get something going. And then if we have something going, then we'll invest in the team, you know, maybe next year. But the thing is, Pirate fans are, I'll believe it when I see it, based on what they didn't do last time. Because even though the GM's different, the team president's different, the manager's different, a lot of the players are different, the owner remains the same. And as long as that's the case, Pirate fans are going to be skeptical.
Yeah, I was going to say, the skepticism reigns supreme. You talked about some of the guys that are position players. Tell me about the starting rotation. Obviously, Chris Archer, it begins with him and then kind of trickles down from there.
Well, you know, among the bad luck that they had last year was Jameson Taillon, who's had a career filled with bad luck. And so he's Tommy John again for him. So he's done for the year. So he's out. He was the presumptive ace last year before he got hurt. Chris Archer has never lived up to what he showed in the American League East. You know, it was one of those, and I'm not sure how you feel about this, but, and maybe this is oversimplification. It probably is. But the way I look at it is that if you've got a guy like Chris Archer who has an ERA of under four in the American League East, where you have to go up against the Yankees and the Red Sox and even the Blue Jays over, you know, a period of time, you know, what, 19? That's 57 games. That's, you know, over a third of your games. And if you can do okay against teams like that, then in the National League, then you should be better. Well, he wasn't. He's been worse. Will bringing in Derek Shelton, who's got a history with him, even though he's not a pitching guy, you know, will there be a comfort there? Will there be a confidence there that he can go back and be closer to the pitcher that he was with Tampa Bay before he came over here? I don't know. But you're right. Archer will probably be the opening day starter, although nobody has said anything yet. And then you got Trevor Williams, who 2 years ago at the end of the year was the best pitcher in the National League for a time. That both he and Taillon, they were terrific. And then last year, Taillon got hurt. Williams fell off. You know, beyond that, it's just, I mean, your guess is as good as mine in terms of the rotation. Mitch Keller supposed to be next in line in terms of, you know, a potential, you know, top of the rotation starter coming up through the minors. And then when they brought him up to the majors, he was horrible. And again, will Oscar Marinas, the new pitching coach, will he be able to, you know, straighten him out? Will Keller relax? The one message, and I actually am looking at snowfall outside my window, and I have a flight that leaves at 7:15 on Saturday to go down to Bradenton to cover these guys for a couple weeks. You know, so what I'm hearing from our people down there now is that it's not just lip service, that it's a fresh voice, that, you know, Clint Hurdle, you know, he was always the most dominant. He's a bright guy. He's a boisterous guy. He's got a big personality. But I think maybe that had worn off. He can also be a difficult guy to deal with. He can be condescending, certainly with us. And I think that he was with his players as well. And they're looking forward to a fresh voice, a more relaxed atmosphere. And so far, that seems to be the case. But, you know, is the talent there? You know, that's the big question. And I think the overriding answer is not. You look at what the Reds did. For goodness sake, mm-hmm. You know, it's one thing to have the Cubs be the Cubs and have a huge payroll, and then the Cardinals just seem to always do everything right. And plus, that's really a major market team as well. And then in Milwaukee, what was it, 10 years ago when it started, where the Brewers had something going, and they did go out and bring in proven guys. And, you know, even recently picking up guys like Yelich and making moves like that. You know, why can't the Pirates do that stuff? It's a similar sized market. In fact, I think Pittsburgh might even be bigger. And so that's what's frustrating to Pirate fans. And then to top it all off, You've got the Cincinnati Reds, of all people, who have been the worst team in the division for how many years now?
Right.
And all of a sudden, they're going out and bringing in guys. So it's a tough scene for Pirate fans.
I was going to ask you, because the Brewers, operating in the smallest market in all of Major League Baseball, they had said that they were operating in the red a little bit last year. Now, that's not going to happen each and every time, and this year they cut payroll by $30 million. And there is some frustration via the fans, but they also know they have some pretty solid pieces in place. So what is the fan base? What is the thought process right now in Pittsburgh? Is it just an anger with ownership that they just have not committed enough resources to this team?
I think it's beyond anger. I think it's apathy. And as you know, that's the worst thing.
Yep.
And even though, you know, Milwaukee is it's not regional like St. Louis, but there used to be a baseball tradition here too, didn't there? I don't know. The Brewers still managed to draw a lot of fans, I think you guys have a pretty good base of what's going on. I think there is a better local broadcast market with Milwaukee than there is in Pittsburgh, although I think that's improving here. And yet, well, you know, you don't even have to open the gates if you have a low enough payroll to cover it in Major League Baseball.
Mm-hmm.
The Pirates don't have to sell any tickets. And with the revenue sharing that does exist in Major League Baseball, with the national revenue that they bring in, their payroll right now is just over $50 million. Now, it shouldn't really be all that much more. You know, it's not like they were going to bring back Gerrit Cole at $35 million a year, or you know, sign Harper, Machado, you name it. That's not going to happen. But to make moves, I go back to the Yelich move, because I always, you know, and in fact, you know what? When I'm going all over the place here, the guys the Florida Marlins had in their outfield like 3 or 4 years ago,
right? That's a hell of a team.
They're all elsewhere.
Yeah.
With Yelich, Stanton, and Ozuna, my goodness. That was their outfield for a while. But anyway, things have to be managed better. And like I said, the new administration has to be given a chance. And the other thing that, you know, Ben Cherington, I can't wait to really get down. I've met him a few times, but in press conference kind of situations, haven't had a chance to really talk to the guy. But he's really Neil Huntington all over again. Similar background. They both grew up in New Hampshire, and I'm from New Hampshire, so I think that's cool. They both went to Amherst. And they both had success elsewhere, but they even sound alike. But you know, Cherington can only do what he can do. We'll see. It's going to be a lot different for him though, working with the financial constraints that he's working with here, as opposed to obviously what he had at his disposal when he was with the Red Sox for a few years.
Jim, we wish you best of luck. I'm sure we're going to chat more down the road, and we'll see if the Pirates can become a thorn in somebody's side. Okay.
I think that's about all they can hope for, is be a thorn. I like the way you put that.
Be a thorn in somebody's side, get a little pride, and then kind of move on from there. Good stuff, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, later.
All right, buddy. There you go. Jim Colony from the Fan in Pittsburgh from 93.7. And that's a guy that there's no hope. There's just, this sucks. Ownership sucks. New management, we'll give him a shot. Everything we're hearing sucks. Just sucks. It just, God, I feel bad for them. I just do. I just feel bad for them. He joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80 plus years, they've been getting it done. Call them, 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com, 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Skipper Buds. They've got a lot of used boats out there right now from the boat show. So if you're looking for a new or a used, you can give them a call. Just go to skipperbuds.com. Ask my buddy Todd out there, the general manager, say, hey, I heard Bill Michaels say that you're making some deals and you need to get rid of some of the used boat inventory. Yes. Go out there and pick one out, pick one up, and you're good to go, and enjoy your summer. That's from our friends over there at Skipper Buds. More of the Bill Michaels Show coming up next.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Show is on the air. Hey, if you're home, if you own a home, or you rent an apartment, by the way, Team Hochberg, they like to give you an opportunity to have them pay your rent or your mortgage for an entire year. You heard me right. Team Hochberg, they're giving listeners right now to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network, an opportunity to have them pay your rent or your mortgage for an entire year. Now, Team Hochberg, they have teamed up with the Chicago Blackhawks, and they are offering a couple of renters and a couple of homeowners an opportunity to shoot a puck, and if indeed on March 22nd you put it through the goal, you will have your mortgage, your rent paid for an entire year. But you can't win. You can't do anything if you don't register. Go to chicagoblackhawks.com/teamhochberg. Registration, by the way, ends February 29th. Again, register and review all the details at chicagoblackhawks.com/teamhochberg. H-O-C-H-B-E-R-G. That's Blackhawks, chicagoblackhawks.com/teamhochberg. And they've helped me and thousands of Bill Michaels Show listeners, for mortgage problems and first mortgages, refis, whatever it happens to be. But you can't get any help if you don't call 855-56-DAVID or visit 56david.com. That's 855-56-DAVID or go to 56david.com. But if you want to get in on this and possibly get a mortgage for free for a year, go to chicagoblackhawks.com/teamhochberg. You're good to go. Homeside Financial, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 1124061. There you have it. Coming up in the next hour, so John Horst, the general manager of your Milwaukee Bucks, was on the morning show today. It was kind of a general manager's day on the morning show today. And he was in the discussion of a lot of different things. But one of the things that I found interesting was he was asked specifically about, is there a plan B if Giannis doesn't sign? And you're going to hear that conversation when we come back. The Bucks on the road tonight, opening up the unofficial second half of the season at 46-8, 21-5 away from the Five Serve Forum. They're taking on the Detroit Pistons this evening. The Pistons, a lowly 19-38, and led by Derrick Rose. Giannis back on the court. Everybody's going to be back together tonight as Bucks basketball now gets ready for the playoff push. That is coming up later on this evening. As a matter of fact, 6 o'clock Central Time is when they tip over in Detroit. But coming up next, you're going to hear the words coming out of his mouth regarding a plan B for the Milwaukee Bucks if Giannis indeed does not sign that Supermax contract. John Horst, the general manager, you're going to hear it coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.